Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, it's March 20th, 2019, 7 p.m. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Huntington Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Huntington County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our servicemen and women, as well as our first responders.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will start with the presentation of the minutes. The first item will be tabled, the minutes of the executive session, the second set of minutes from the February 6th executive session. Those are still in process. So first is the minutes of the special meeting and executive session meeting on March 6th, 2019.
I'll make a motion to approve the special meeting minutes of March 6, 2019.
In executive session?
In executive session.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
And next would be the minutes of the regular meeting and executive session meeting on March 6, 2019. Any discussion on those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the executive session meetings of March 6th and the regular meeting minutes of March 6th.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
With that, we would open the floor to public comment limited to items that are on the agenda tonight. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
I remind people this meeting is recorded and will be posted on the website promptly, so if anyone has a comment. Seeing no one coming to make a comment, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close the public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
We have a couple of proclamations tonight. The first one is a very special proclamation recognizing the 101st birthday of Mrs. Ruth Hahn. This was brought to our attention by the historians, and the information in this proclamation comes from an interview that one of our historians, Maria Nacarado, recently did with Mrs. Hahn. Whereas longevity of life is a blessing for an individual and for a community which benefits from the knowledge and experiences this individual brings to all, and whereas Mrs. Hahn was born in a house on Shar Road on March 18, 1918, and has lived her entire life in Lebanon Township. And whereas Ruth milked cows on the family farm, played kick the can and marbles, attended Mount Lebanon School, and ran barefoot most of the time. And whereas from a young age, Ruth was very involved with the Mount Lebanon Grange, her father, Eugene Shar, being its founder. I'll interject a story that I heard. Her father, when she was a young girl, had the opportunity to go down to Washington, D.C., to the White House, and Ruth joined her father to meet President Coolidge at the time.
Oh, geez.
That's what a long life. Whereas Ruth met her future husband, George Hahn, during a square dance at the Mount Lebanon Grange, and has two children, 9 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and 10 great-great-grandchildren. Whereas to provide supplemental income for her family, Ruth worked as a nurse's aide at the New Jersey State Sanatorium, as a driver for the Pult Bus Company, and at the Egg Factory in Flemington. And whereas Ruth believes everything in moderation is the secret to longevity, now therefore be it resolved that the Mayor and Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon hereby recognize and celebrate this milestone in her long and remarkable life. Is there a motion to support this proclamation?
I will make a motion to support this proclamation recognizing the 101st birthday of Mrs. Ruth Hahn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Happy birthday, dear Ruth Hahn. Happy birthday to you.
Didn't we deliver Meals on Wheels to her? She looked familiar when I saw the picture. Yeah.
You got it.
So congratulations to Mrs. Hahn.
She looks great.
Next proclamation is for National Poison Prevention Week. The Congress has designated the third full week in March to be National Poison Prevention Week to raise national awareness of the dangers of potentially poisonous medicines, noting that poisoning is a preventable illness. Unintentional poisoning is the leading cause of unintentional injury death in New Jersey, outnumbering deaths by motor vehicles and firearms. drug overdose deaths, including those from prescription and over-the-counter medications, as well as illegal drugs such as heroin and methamphetamines, remain at epidemic proportions in both New Jersey and the United States. In New Jersey, residents are encouraged to call the Poison Prevention Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 for any help or for any concerns. And furthermore, be aware that e-cigarette devices pose a serious risk of poisoning. The full proclamation language will be on the part of the township minutes. Is there a motion to support the proclamation for National Poison Prevention Week?
I'll make the motion to support the proclamation for National Poison Prevention Week.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And a third proclamation for the American Red Cross Month 2019. More than 137 years ago, the American Red Cross was established as a humanitarian organization. In New Jersey alone, in 2018, there were 902 local disasters where the Red Cross helped out in New Jersey. Is there a motion to support the American Red Cross Month 2019 proclamation?
I'll make a motion to support the American Red Cross Month 2019 proclamation.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to our resolutions. First resolution, 33-2019, supporting and authorizing application for Green Acres Supplemental Funding for Planning Incentive Grant. Several years ago, well, for the past decade or so, Lebanon Township has had in place what's called a Planning Incentive Grant with Green Acres. 2 years ago, when we adopted an updated open space and recreation plan, we qualified to keep our planning incentive grant active. The last grant we had was 2 years ago, $500,000 for the Teetertown Point Mountain Link acquisition of 244 acres along with partners. That was partial funding for that. And so every 2 years, one can apply for supplemental funding. The application before us would be to authorize a grant request of $350,000 for open space acquisitions, matching funds for the next 2 years. Is there any discussion anyone would like to have on the open space Green Acres resolution? Is there a motion to adopt resolution 33-2019?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 33-2019 supporting and authorize an application for Green Acres supplemental funding for the planning incentive grant.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Then resolution 34-2019. Last meeting we discussed the process for a qualified purchasing agent to make purchases outside of the normal procedure of the committee having a full approval. What we discussed was putting in place a procedure whereby the normal purchasing form that we've already had that gets filled out by a department head would need to be signed by two committee members, including a combination of the mayor or deputy mayor and the committee liaison to the department requesting the funding, prior to the CFO providing a certificate of availability of funds, which is needed by the qualified purchasing agent to make a purchase. This resolution further adds the caveat that no committee member, including the mayor or deputy mayor, is authorized to sign such a purchasing memorandum for a purchase that has been voted against by a majority of the committee in the preceding 12 months. So the whole point of this resolution is to just control the potential for malfeasance and make sure the procedures are followed. Any discussion of the resolution?
Yeah, I just saw the date on here, 2018. If we can amend the date.
You said 19.
It right.
Well, it's on the agenda.
Okay.
Thanks for.
Just noticed it.
Any other discussion of the qualified purchasing agent procedure resolution? Or is there a motion to adopt?
Make a motion to adopt Resolution 34-2019, QPA purchasing procedures.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, so old business. First item of old business, I'm going to delay because I believe I told Ms. Pam Matthews of Van Cleef that she would be closer to 7:30, so I think she's probably timing her visit out, so we'll go back to her when she arrives. Okay. Therefore, the next item will be discussion of the revaluation program. There are two parts to this. One is a draft letter that's been provided to everyone, prepared by professional property appraisers. I had a chance to review it. Our attorney reviewed it, and as well as a question and answer brochure. Both of these would be mailed out basically as soon as they're approved by the committee. Our tax maps have been approved by the state. We're ready to start the revaluation, and they would like to get a jump start as quickly as we authorize it. Any comments or discussions on the letter to the residents and the question and answer brochure? And this information would be, the brochure information would be put up on the township website as well for everyone's information. You'll see that the couple of issues that the committee has looked at carefully before, sort of double emphasizing that an adult has to be present at every home for the interior inspections. And also you'll see that the company, Professional Property Appraisers, has accommodated our request that the residents will be allowed to call their 1-800 number to schedule a time for a visit. Otherwise, the appraisers will be coming door-to-door looking for an inspection. If no one's home, they'll leave a postcard. But if you'd like to avoid having, residents would like to avoid having, you know, a random timing of such an inspection, they can call and they'll make every accommodation to try to schedule those appointments. So I believe, along with Erica Brandmeier, our assessor, the company, we've all put in the issues that the committee wanted to see.
Right.
So is there a motion?
Mayor, one thing, the only reference, it may have already been correct, but just is there are two references to how long it's been since the, and I don't know if the intention is to insert that in the brochure.
Yes. Do you happen to have it? It's about 18 years, I know, but so we'll get the exact date on that. Thanks. Any other discussion items, or would there be a motion to approve the letter and brochure to be sent out at the earliest availability?
I'll make a motion for a professional property. Do they send it out, or do we send it out?
They send it out using our tax,
Okay.
Our mailing address.
But okay, just generic.
It'll go on there. It's part of their contract, their costs.
Okay, so authorizing professional property appraisers to send out the letter to the residents regarding the revaluation program.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And the next related item is, as part of the kickoff of the revaluation, we will have some public information sessions where the company will come to the township. Our assessor will be there. Our attorney will be there. The committee is invited to be there, but it's not a committee meeting per se, so no one needs to skip work or you know, go to all the meetings. The proposal is on April 10th, coming up, that's a Wednesday, that we have one meeting during daytime hours, so at 2 in the afternoon for people who aren't available in the evening, and then another meeting at 7 p.m. For as many people as would like to attend. Obviously, it's difficult to predict exactly how many people are going to come up, going to come to it. So our proposal as well would be to have a backup date penciled in. The proposal would be Tuesday, April 16th for a 7 p.m. meeting. So if, for example, we get an overflow crowd on April 10th, we would then immediately schedule for April 16th. But we won't schedule April 16th. Ahead of time, we don't want people to say they can go to either one. There wouldn't be an April 16th meeting if not enough people show up on April 10th. Any discussion, or is there a motion to approve those dates? And I believe we'll record those meetings and put those up on the website as well.
Sure.
So we'll have that in. The people who can't attend can hear that recording anyway.
Well, we'll try to, because they're going to be quite a few hours, right?
Well, it's... Mm-hmm.
Two hours? Some of these...
Fine. Yeah, that should be fine.
Okay. Any discussion or a motion to approve the dates and times for the public meetings?
Make a motion to approve the public meeting dates, primary one being April 10th from at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Yep.
With the added date of April 16th if there is a necessity for more, more access for the public to the assessors.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 You got it.
Now, I believe Ms. Matthews is here. So, if you wouldn't mind coming up and the situation, the reason we've got Ms. Matthews from the engineering firm of Van Cleef, she was involved for the past more than a year now. Well, I think for a long time you've done tax map updates for the township, and as the year in advance of the revaluation, we have to go through a state-mandated procedure to update our entire tax map. Last year, we received an estimate for professional services from Ms. Matthews and Van Cleef, which totaled, the expectation was for the 25 tax maps that we had, 25 pages of tax maps. I'll give a summary and then you can correct it in a moment. We were provided with an estimate of $38,750. Somewhere late last year, partly when we were in transition between tax assessors, it turned out instead of 25 tax map pages, because of small print, et cetera, or small details, we had to go to larger scale. We now have 49 new pages in our tax map, and I understand that we had more than $30,000 of unbilled time that started accruing for that dramatic increase in work. It's been proposed that we somehow split the difference in our favor. The proposal tonight would be if we authorized paying Van Cleef an additional $11,250 above the $38,750 to bring it to a total of $50,000 for the tax map, not including some other charges which were separate from that estimate for the 2018 tax map changes, as well as the estimate covered two rounds of submissions of questions from the state of New Jersey, and there were a third round of questions that wouldn't have been covered. So those are separate charges, if anyone has those details. So with that, we asked Ms. Matthews to come to tell us what the additional scope was, why it wouldn't have been foreseen in the first estimate, et cetera.
Like you said, there was I really anticipated being able to keep them at the same scale. But once we got looking at it, there was a mix of lots that were small lots and big lots on the same sheets. And the smaller lots, it was just impossible to put the detail required on them. Pretty much anything less than a 2-acre lot at the 400 scale was just, it was ugly. It would not have been clear. And with the given font sizes that we had to use, it just wasn't possible. And I didn't anticipate that when we started. They looked fairly decent, but once we started looking at them and overlaying them on the aerial, we could see that there was places where it needed to be fixed and adjusted, and it just blossomed.
I didn't realize that was part of the project, taking our maps on top of aerial photography and making sure reality matched from it.
Yeah. That's part of what we did, yes. That they're all in the same system as the state aerial photography, so if you need a map for something, those are in there. We can zoom in on that and print out any map that you need for that.
Any questions from the committee?
Well, I mean, it's a big difference, 25 to 49 pages.
I blew the estimate. I did not anticipate it was going to take that much effort to get these done. I had done maps before, prior, and City of Summit, I had transferred their tax maps over to the digital format, Borough Mountainside. And in those places, you can almost see, looking at the area, you can almost see where the property lines are. You don't, but in many places in the rural area, you can't tell from the aerial what's going on. I mean, sometimes we bring the aerial up behind it, and the tax map line is going right through a house. You know that's not right. You know, it just takes a little bit more research to determine where the line is and put it in a more correct spot.
In a case like that, you'd go deed by deed to look at the meets and bounds and the plot?
In many cases, we did pull the deed, or in many cases, I have access to some old files through Van Cleef and other companies where we've received the maps over the years, and I have old surveys or something like that we were able to pull up the old deeds, old filed maps, old...
I will say for anybody, Eric, our tax assessor, provided me sort of a pre-draft, and at the 1 to 200 scale, you can make out a lot more detail than the 1 to 400 scale, which all the prior pages were, so that's why it's 49 pages instead of 25. It's just much more detail on each page. And this will be online. It's now in a CAD-CAM system. I think our last map update was 12 years ago, do I recall, or was it even 18 years ago with our last reval? I don't remember. Or is it the 1967 draft that you started?
We've been revising the 1967 maps.
So this is our first full-scale revision or upgrade since 1967.
So they will be then in a format that can easily be downloaded. Do they also then
a PDF?
I was going to say they're a PDF.
That's how she plotted that.
When did you realize that this was going to be over?
About the time that
Laura
left, I realized that we were in trouble with that. And at that point, I was going to come in, and I'm like, but I didn't want to come in and say, all right, it's going to be this much more, because I had already underestimated it so far that I didn't want to have to come back again a third time. So I figured it would be better just to get it done.
So you're if I understand it, the $11,250 would be roughly 46 cents on the dollar from where you stopped clocking the additional work?
Yeah,
exactly. So any other discussion, or is there a motion to pay Van Cleef an additional $11,250?
I'll make the motion to pay the added $11,200 to complete the drawings. We had our maps, I know, I have my revision that Van Cleef had seen these maps before. It wasn't a mystery to you, but I do understand that but we needed new maps. I've worked with them a couple times on a couple projects, and the old ones were horrible and to try to work with and understand. So hopefully with a PDF version that we can have a little more access. So,
And just to be, I think you said 200,
yeah,
11,250.
I'm sorry. $11,250. For the added work to the tax maps.
I'll second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. You'll put through an invoice and we'll settle it up. Thank you.
Okay. And I have some more copies back here.
Next item on the agenda is a potential shared services agreement with Tewksbury Township. I would suggest we table that for some additional executive session discussion with potential action after executive session. And the item after that is the assistant library clerk position, which I understand we'd also like to table to executive session with potential action after executive session. I have one other additional off-agenda item of full business. This has to do with the sheds behind Fire Station 2. in minutes it showed last meeting there was a motion that died regarding the Boy Scout request to use a pad, use a shed. The motion was to put, to let the Boy Scouts put a new shed on the pad. With additional discussion this week, it turns out that between the rec committee and the police, we can actually free up a shed. They reviewed a little further, said there would be an empty shed. As we also discussed, though, the shed, at least one of the sheds, is in need of some significant maintenance, repair of the roof shingles and the like. I think the proposal that I would like to put forth would be that we allow the Boy Scouts to use one of the deteriorated sheds in exchange for them having a project of repairing the sheds. We could supply the roof shingles and the like. And so the motion would be to let the Boy Scouts use a shed, repair a shed, subject to the attorney drafting an agreement, indemnifying the town, making sure that they have the right insurance in place.
All right. Well, there will be an issue with regard. I'm presuming that you're talking about the scouts themselves performing the repairs
under the supervision of their leaders and doing a project.
Under this limited situation where the Tort Claims Act applies, it's clear that nobody can waive the child's rights under the Tort Claim Act. We need to be aware of that, that there's nothing their parent can sign, there's nothing I can draft, because the state legislature has acted to give these kids, all of us, rights under the Tort Claims Act, and as a minor, nobody can relinquish that right. There may be a way to draft it, that the scouts design the project, but whatnot, but I'm going to be at a loss to protect us from the injury to a minor. I just need to be clear on that. That's your decision.
They can't provide insurance to cover those injuries?
They can provide the insurance, whether or not it's satisfactory or we get to the level. Again, it doesn't mean they can't be involved in the project. I don't know if we're talking about, I don't know the condition of the shed. We're talking power tools and things like that.
They're not allowed. Scouts aren't allowed to use power.
Okay. I mean,
The adults have to use the power tools.
All right.
That's by we Boy can, Scout.
Maybe you can help me then, and we can work strict enough parameters.
Yeah, I mean,
where
Eagles, there's Eagle direction. Projects all throughout this town on county property, on town property, that have been done multiple times.
No, understood. The Eagle Scout projects in particular worked with them before. All right.
Thanks for that clarification. So you think rules could be in place to limit the risk?
Draft it. They're going to have to adhere to it. There's going to be restrictions in it, though, and as Mark's indicated, we can significantly reduce the risk. I can't get it to zero, but we can. We do that. We have to weigh those risks.
Well, I know that Warren looked at some of those sheds out there, and he thought some of them were beyond repair. Like it would be cheaper to actually get a new shed than to do the repair. So I wasn't sure if you talked to him and if it was that particular shed.
The discussion, I think he was part. No, I did talk to him as well. I mean, financially, it wouldn't make sense. The question is, if the Boy Scouts wanted a project, it's not beyond repair. It's just to have a used shed that you put more money in for roof shingles versus buying a new shed. I don't know if you got prices on a new shed.
No, I told the guy we were probably going to be using what we got.
Okay.
So we didn't take any further.
So, I mean, clearly, if the township were doing it, the recommendation from Warren, I agree, was to get a new shed. The question is, if the Boy Scouts won a project, it's, you know, they look for good projects.
Yeah, as long as the cost to us wasn't so much that.
I think
we're not paying for labor.
We're talking a couple hundred dollars of roof shingles and plywood or something is what I understood from Warren.
Yep, as long as it can be made safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we could probably get people to donate that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Any further discussion or is there a motion to allow the Boy Scouts to repair a shed, use a shed, subject to an agreement drafted by the attorney?
I'll make the motion as stated by the mayor.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Mark, can you just send me whatever guidelines they have?
Yeah.
At the project?
I can get that to you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other old business from the committee? With that, we're on to new business. First item of new business is Harlan and Leslie Parker requesting placement of a trailer. And we'll let them make their proposal. I guess if you could state your name and the address of the property you're requesting for.
Sure. Leslie Parker.
Harlan Parker. The property is at 23 Dewey Lane. I live in Atlanta. So, you know, we own a house in Long Valley, which we bought in 2006. It's over 3,000 square feet. We are empty nesters, and we, you know, are retirement age-ish, although we can't retire yet. but what we want to do, we really want to move to Lebanon Township, to 23 Dewey Lane. It's not turning out as easy as we would like it to be. But there, we have plans to build a house on the property. There's already a septic system that has been upgraded and fixed. There is a well on the property that we had tested, and it turns out it's not sufficient, so we need to build a new well. We had a sale on our house last year, but that fell through. And it wasn't possible to keep it on the market last winter. As we all know, the housing market has not been kind to sellers. And the property is back on the market, but at a new improved lower cost. So we met with a new architect last Monday to revise our plans for the house on 23 Dewey Lane to shrink it from like 2,700 square feet to 2,400 square feet and make it a more simple design. So that will hopefully make it less expensive to build and quicker to build. So what we would like to do now is move our desires forward as quickly as possible. What that means is that we're really going to have to lower the price on our house even more. And then the problem is, well, where do we live while the house is being built? Last year we had 3 large dogs and 4 cats. Unfortunately, our shepherd passed away, so now we have 2 large dogs, both around 85 pounds, and 3 cats. And it's just the 2 of us. But trying to find someplace to rent is next to impossible, because if they allow pets at all, they'll allow 1 cat, maybe a dog, but the dog's got to be 30 pounds or less. And then no place around here. My back isn't what it used to be 20 years ago, but I will be participating in the building of the house. I've done a couple already. I've built several rather large decks. We're going to be putting on a large deck on this house. I've hung kitchen cabinets. I've done tiling work, so I'll be participating. So I would like to be on the property to be able to do that. So we were thinking about what we could possibly do. And it came after some discussion. What we would like to do is buy an RV trailer. They're like 35 feet or so. We can buy one for about $15,000, $20,000. They come out to about 250, 300 square feet of living space, which is not a lot. But it should be sufficient, because we're talking about the spring and summer and fall. And we'd like to have it hooked up to the septic and the electric and the new well, which we're going to build. So we can be there while the construction is taking place. And as soon as we can even get a temporary CFO for the new house, we'd like to move in. And then the trailer goes back to whatever dealer, and they sell it for us. And even if we have to sell it for half, they get rid of it. We're that much ahead of the game. And the money that we don't have to spend renting a house that we can't even necessarily find, we can put into the new house to get it built that much faster. So our contractor, who the building inspector knows, everyone knows John Rocco, you know, we should be able to build this house, depending upon weather and everything else, 6 months to 9 months. I have gone over with the zoning gentleman here and the building gentleman here, the plans that we have. I've gotten all their, you know, approvals. We haven't, at their direction, I have not, you know, filed formally because of the time frames and everything like that. But, and then I met on Tuesday with Warren Allen, the township engineer, because the revised plans, because of the way the property goes, the new architect wants us to move the garage to the right, and that would mean moving one of the entrances. There are two entrances for the driveway now. He wants us to move it to the right. Warren said, no problem. You know, it's a $40 fee to the town, but it shouldn't be a problem at all. It all makes sense. So we have the plans. We're revising for the smaller house. But with our ability to put, you know, an RV trailer on the property and move in there, we can then just lower the price of our house now and, you know, get out of Dodge. You know, we're not getting any younger. We just want to, you know, our plan is to retire here. I don't know if I'll make it to 101 years old.
I'm planning.
Good water.
She will. But that's the plan, and we need your help.
What's the acreage of the lot?
3 acres.
Three.
And how close are the neighboring homes?
What neighbors?
Can you see them?
The one on the right we can actually see. Warren tells me they're nice people. They have some kids there. He's generally away on business or whatever. But it's all very quiet. We were there. We met with a tree guy over the weekend. And one of the reasons we're looking to move there is because it was so quiet.
We live on a main road now. And even though our house is well set back and there's a whole screen of trees, you can hear all the traffic. So we like that it's going to be quiet.
So, Matt, correct me, keep me in line here, but the committee, it was passed out our ordinance, Chapter 344.16, which potentially allows use of a trailer on private property. The township committee would have to determine that a hardship exists in order to grant a permit for 90 days, $10 permit fee. You'd have to come back to the committee every 90 days. I think the question before the committee would be, well, and let me back up, in any case, we would also have the attorney draft the permit language to make sure that their tenancy concerns, I guess, are the issue that you had. Right. We'd have to make sure that the language is there, that if the trailer existed after the permit ran out, the township could tow it away at your cost, all those protections. I've spoken to the zoning officer to find out what the concern here is. The main concern he cited to me is historically over the past 50 years, people would put a trailer on a property, people would start living in it, they would build a home, and 20 years later, they have either rented out the trailer or other family members are living in the trailer, and now we have two residences.
No.
I'm just telling you the concern.
That never occurred to us.
I mean,
have a big family. There's nobody that would come.
And we joke about doing this, but the reality is after a few weeks of doing this, she may either kick me out or shoot me.
I'm just saying that.
I may be pitching a tent, you know, somewhere.
Have you ever lived in an RV?
Huh?
Have you ever lived in an RV?
No.
Maybe go to like USA RVs and rent one for the weekend.
We've been exploring them.
Because we had one 35 footer. A weekend's about all I could handle.
Really, do we look like the kind of people who would live in a trailer forever?
But this is called incentive by being in this little trailer to get the house built as quick. And I'm telling you, as soon as we can get a temporary CFO, we're there.
We have a very small family, and nobody would want to live in a trailer.
But that's just the protection. We consider it at all, that's
well, put that in the
things going through my mind are, normally, this is reserved for someone who lives in the township and their home burns down.
Well, we're looking to live in the township.
What you're asking to do doesn't really fit that. And
we have to be aware of setting precedents. Somebody else could come in and say, hey, you know, we want to put a trailer up, we want to build a house. You know, we have to challenge with that.
Have you had that happen before people ask?
No, but once it happens first, it opens up the door. That's well, the city president.
You know, like we're not a developer.
I understand that. I get that. Yeah,
And we don't know where we would go with the animals.
And because of the housing market, we're going to, you know, the way to move it, otherwise we're going to be delayed in like another year, which we don't want to do. So we just have to sell our house, and the way to do it is to drop it another 20 and find a buyer. And so this will make up for that.
Mm-hmm. But I think, Brian, your point is exactly right.
So when would you put the trailer or the RV on the Dewey Lane lot?
It depends upon when we get a sale on the
property. Wouldn't be on the property until your home is sold.
No, right. not until we're ready to close.
And as you heard the mayor say, it's a 90-day relief.
So if we, in theory, if we were to sell the house now, and we had a May 15th closing, we would want the trailer there so we could move in on the closing date.
Would the house be able to be built in 90 days?
No.
So you would seek relief for another 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it wouldn't be built.
Yeah, I mean, it depends upon so many different factors. But according to John, like 6 months is a...
6 to 9 months.
Because it's only, it's a small house. It's not, we're not building a palace. So once the foundation is in and is framed out, then it can go pretty fast.
Would the well be drilled and the temporary power run to the property?
Yeah, we would need...
In your scenario, like May 15th,
we would need before
a trailer comes out.
Yeah, and we do want to put in a sunken 1,000-gallon propane tank for the house. But I'm told we really don't want to put that in while construction's going on because that could... Bad things could happen.
Yeah.
So we don't want that. But the septic is already there. It was upgraded by Mr. Simons. The Colalucci family would do the well.
Right.
I was told that on one end of Dewey Lane, they had to drill down something like 200 feet, and then on the other lane where that new house is, they had to go down like 2,000 feet or something like that. When I spoke with Warren, he said, well, the Public Works building is right around the same range, and they had to go down 500 feet. So, you know... So next week we have a contractor coming to take down some of the trees, some of the dead trees and a bunch of other things. If, you know, then we can see about getting the well built now that it's nicer weather. So sometime in April, getting the well built. And then once we have a sale on the property and a closing date, then we would just put the trailer on as close to the closing date as possible. Get it set up so that we can, on closing, be moved in.
Yep.
And then we want to just build as fast as possible.
I mean, other than concerns that we can't do anything about, such as people saying, oh, if they did this, then why can't we? Do you have any other concerns that we could address?
Well, it's really not for you, but Brian's point is correct. You know, the ordinance, we say, provide adequate proof of hardship. As I understand, if we deem this a hardship, then the next people who say, well, that was a hardship, now we get the same hardship, we just set a policy.
Well, I think procedurally, that's the first thing we need to do. So that in order to address Brian's concern, that instead of just blanketly voting to approve the request, that at first, or as part of the granting it, that you determine and vote that this has reached the level of hardship, so that to address Brian's concern, the next person that comes in still has the burden. In a hardship situation, the burden is on the applicant. Unlike a standard come in to build something on a lot that's permitted, so that I think at least addresses Brian's concern. Yes, if somebody comes in with the identical facts that they're buying a vacant lot and they're selling a house and they have water and water and septic, yeah, you're going to be the fact that you've granted it under those identical facts. Someone comes in with a less onerous situation, you still have your right to deny it.
Okay.
I mean, it's just it's a matter of fairness and equity across the board. The one thing I do want to clear up, though, is that we really do need to address the water issue. Once you visit the hardship issue, which is threshold, we need to address the water issue before. I believe you could address it tonight and make it a conditional approval, but if that's how you're so inclined, but we obviously have to have that in hand before anything can be formalized.
And if I'm understanding you correctly, the issue would be that the well test permit isn't done until the certificate of occupancy for the house. So we would have a condition that we would need the well test before the trailer went on.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's the way I read the code. I don't read any way around that in the code, because you can imagine why.
You can't do that?
Well, does Mr. Colucci do that, or is he? Who does that?
I think it's a couple hundred dollar test. It's just a matter of it's a normal. You'll have to do it eventually for the house, but the normal trigger would be getting the house occupied. We'll just have to move that up.
So you can do that. It's not like it has to
be conditional.
It's not prohibitive.
It's similar to what we've done in the Board of Health.
Well, I hope it is going to be good. Well, so.
Yeah.
I understand it, but my concern is that there are ways around that on a short term basis. And that's not in the spirit of the code as it's written.
We will gladly comply with whatever is needed.
Just to quote, because I did discuss, and John Fleming, the zoning officer, was fairly clear. I asked, what he sees as the downside if, let's say, every new construction situation wanted to have a 35-foot RV. And his answer was, we don't have a lot of new construction. Our lots are generally large enough. He didn't see a problem, as I can quote him.
I'd like to have a better idea of the well, where we're going with the well. The water's got to be potable, usable water.
Well,
that's
it has to be
certified.
If we can't get a well, we can't build a house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's some homework on your end that needs to be done still.
Well, there are wells from one end to the other, and Mr. Colucci, when I met with him last year.
Yeah, but he's not the one that certifies that well's drinkable.
Well,
that's the issue I think we have right now.
The only thing we can do is build the well and right.
The question that the ordinance says no permit shall be granted without certification of the Secretary of the Board of Health. So the question would be whether we put if we're open to considering it, if they have to come back to this committee,
or if they have to deliver
to the Secretary of Board of Health the well certification.
Because Tom, if you remember, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, we had a conditional on Observatory Road of this scenario, with occupancy, with the well and drilling it and having the they had to have a proof of getting a driller in there and
right.
getting that. So, that's
the
condition.
I don't have any doubt that Mr. and Mrs. Parker are going to have the well drilled. I have no doubt at all. It's just that the procedure to get it certified that it's drinkable water. That's the gray area that I can't wrap,
Once the house was built anyway?
Yes, but under this relief, it needs to also be done at this point.
So
we have to
if you weren't seeking this relief, you could wait until you were pulling your CO to submit that. But at this point, because you're seeking relief, you're seeking hardship, it's not permissive, it's a required standard. So that's...
We have no objection.
We will comply with whatever Tom said.
Mm-hmm. I have no doubt you will. It's just the water testing without a house, I'm just not sure.
Any other discussion?
So we essentially have a conditional, proof of the septic inspection. Somewhere along the way, I don't know if you've had a septic inspection.
Yeah.
Okay, so proof of septic inspection, proof of drilling a well and a well test, involving
water test. Right.
And also, I would say proof of before we would approve the permit to go on there, proof of sale by their house, process to say, that wouldn't go on, and. Proof of a contract with the builder.
There's
that
criteria
there's obviously intention to go forward.
That we
with
need
it.
To have to move forward.
Yeah.
Would the...
I have one other question.
Would the... Oh, sorry.
The power.
Yes.
Is that coming to a temporary pole?
Well, there's a pole on the property now with power.
The meter and a temporary pole? Or
well, there's
and how does it get to the trailer and how does it get to the well?
The pole is right on the property about where we think we would put the trailer. So it's there.
Okay.
But if we have to put a new pole
on. You have an electrician at more handle.
We have an electrician.
Yeah, we have a wonderful electrician. We have a wonderful HVAC guy.
And
we have a good architect, wonderful contract.
When you fill the application for your building, that will be in there, your electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, sir, was would the filing of the building application be sufficient to satisfy that?
When did Mr. Simon certify this?
Yep. That was 2018 sometime, when we thought we would be able to, when we had the contract on our home last year.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometime around April or May of last year.
So what I see is that due to economics or whatever, the price and value of your home has considered.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're dropping it to a very low rate. Otherwise, you have pets that you love.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't find an apartment to rent
with
all your pets. So this is your option that you have.
If we don't have any family around here, we can't move in with any parents or brothers and sisters that we don't have.
Yeah.
So we're
it's really just
tough.
Us.
But you know, the good news is that we're moving to town. We don't have any school-age children. We're not adding to the burden of the town.
We're kind of like
a nice house
that
Mark was
going with
get
the criteria. If we can just sort through that a little bit more.
So Mr. Parker asked the question. Mark, I think you had thrown out the idea of having them demonstrate that they were under contract for sale of their existing home. He asked if having been granted the building permit might be a criteria, if I understood you correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, the key thing here is that we don't approve this, and then it sits there, and then nothing happens with mm-hmm. the construction
right,
of the house.
Right. So I'm saying, you know, not only the contract of the sale of our house, but the building permit issued. So that's
right.
Fine.
Yeah, something proving that you're moving forward with the steps before that
there,
can get
there
put on
the place. There is absolutely no desire on our part to live in an RV trailer for an hour longer than absolutely necessary.
And from our side, there'd be a 90-day procedure where you'd come back to renew.
Right, which we anticipate having to do.
And
if we didn't see enough activity, that would be considered.
And as a friend of mine, I mean, we will grant the committee choice of upholstered furniture to be out in front. Whether a couch, two chairs, whatever.
So you seem to have a clear direction. If we wanted to consider this, would we first take a vote that it qualifies as a hardship, or would we take a vote overall that we're going to permit it subject to A, B, C, D condition?
You would either do the hardship first or do it all at once. But I'd want the motion to affirmatively state that the applicants had demonstrated hardship.
I mean, we'll follow your direction. If we should do a hardship vote first and then do conditions for permit, or
no? It can be done. It can be done.
Okay.
It can be done all together.
So I didn't mean to jump to. If there's any additional discussion,
no. I think. Like I said, if we lay out the reason for the hardship, since financially it's not, can't do both at the same time. And then the conditionals to ensure that it does get built. That's my concerns.
Could we ask Matt, the attorney, had you been taking enough notes, do you have a motion that you'd like to put on the table? And someone
okay.
make the motion?
I'll take a shot at it and feel free to move to amend it. There'd be a motion to grant temporary use of a trailer on private property in accordance with Section 344-16 due to hardship as established by the purchase of the property and the need to sell the existing residence in another town in order to be able to move to Lebanon Township, and due to the real estate market as well as the unique issues that the applicants face with regard to their family pets, inability to place them or obtain suitable rental accommodations during the pendency of the construction, subject the permit thereafter being subject to various restrictions and conditions that the applicants have agreed to here tonight, including that they will provide proof of septic, proof of a successful water test, and that the portion of occupancy shall not commence until they pull a building permit, and that the applicants also acknowledge that this must be renewed for every 90 days, and it is their burden to come in and seek that renewal. Just quick and to the point.
I like it. I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
Welcome to Lebanon.
Thank you. I should make it to 101 years.
Okay. Next is the Class 2 officer consideration of a wage increase. I came to our attention that our Class 2 police officer, who is not a member of any collective bargaining agreement, has had the same wage rate, hourly rate, since 2014. The proposal would be to grant him the same rate wage increases at percentages that we've recently granted to over the last year. So we've granted to our statutory and supervisory employees who are also non-collective bargaining agreement personnel. That would take, in summarizing, that would take him from $22.86 an hour currently, a cumulative 7% increase with retro pay for the past years up to $24.45. Does anyone want more detailed numbers or any discussion?
No, I'll make that motion to approve the wage increase for the non-collective bargaining unit employee, the Class 2 police officer.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have a request from our Department of Public Works manager to seek applications for summer help. The summer help would be paid for out of a Clean Communities grant. The temporary employees, he's looking for two. He's looking to offer a pay rate of between $15 and $17.50. That would allow him to potentially get a well-qualified candidate, noting that we have in the fall, we may have a full-time position available to see if we can attract a person with the right qualifications to consider for that. Any further discussion? Or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to I'll make a motion to approve the Warren's request for summer help.
A second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Do you want to discuss the multi-equip?
Mrs. Kohler, it's like, it's not really, I have to talk to him about that.
Do you want to discuss the next DPW request to purchase a multi-equip concrete mixer, or would you like me to...
Go ahead, you can do it. Warren called me about it.
You're not feeling well. Apparently,
yeah, I don't want to start coughing.
Apparently, the township's concrete mixer is, I thought the date was in here. I was told it was like a 1974 model, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, old, very old.
It's 27 years old, it says here. And in a recent inspection by P. OSHA, the safety group, they felt it didn't have enough current safety features, and so he is requesting to purchase a new one. He has three quotes, the low quote, which he can acquire locally for roughly $2,800. They would use this when they start with new catch basin repair and installation on some of the road maintenance. Any discussion on a new concrete mixer for the DPW?
You rounded up 5 cents?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Holy cow.
Buy a stick of gum on the way.
But he picked up that $50 you were missing.
Yeah, exactly. I'll make the motion to approve the request for Warren, for our DPW manager, for the new cement mixer for $2,799.95.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And another DPW request. This is for the DPW manager to supervisor to go out for bid on blacktop. We can get blacktop through a co-op. The last few years, he's found better pricing outside the co-op and better quality and closer deliveries or closer pickups so that he gets it hotter to the job. Any discussion on...
Did he ever answer your question about the QPA?
I heard indirectly that because of the harsh winter and the amount of road work, he thinks it could be above $40,000, so he'd prefer to go out to a bid just so he doesn't... The question was that with our qualified purchasing agent, he can go to $40,000 without a bid,
mm-hmm.
but he thinks he may purchase more than $40,000. Some years he's a little under $40,000. This year he thinks he might be over.
Okay.
And two things. So I don't know what quantity that we need to, if we're going to bid it, we might get a price break, so it needs to be some idea of that. And then the only other thing is the one industry that has the cost escalator, if the prices change in it, in an upward fashion, is the asphalt industry. They have state law that even if they quote us a price, and it happened about 10 years ago when there was an oil shortage and there's no residual to make it, whatever their price goes up by, they're allowed to visit that on us.
So I know Warren has done this bid the last couple of years. If we authorize it tonight, could we say subject to review before it goes out?
Just I don't need to review it. It's just law. I just think that he needs to bid. We need to have some. There should be a quantity included in that bid solicitation. Does he usually do that? Do you know?
I thought so.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, do we need to have him come back for that, or can we authorize it subject to him making sure there's a quantity?
You can authorize it.
Okay. Is there a motion to authorize DPW to go out for bid on road materials?
I will make a motion for the DPW to go out to bid on road materials.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next is a discussion of the tax assessor and zoning officer evening hours. The discussion has been had that the zoning officer is proposing changing his schedule to, instead of having two daytime days in the township, to go to one evening session. Our tax assessor, we recently started on an evening session. Turns out the zoning officer is not available on Wednesdays when our tax assessor is here. The two of them are proposing that a Thursday evening would be suitable for both of their schedules to be here for Thursday hours. Part of the reason we chose Wednesday for the tax assessor was, at least on two Wednesdays a month, this committee is meeting, so the building is open. Thursday, there are less regular events, but we would have two people in the building to open the building and have residents come. Is there any discussion anyone would like to have about moving both the assessor hours and the zoning officer hours to a Thursday evening on a regular basis?
The only thing that I was thinking about is we probably then should put in some, I would say we keep the building locked and we put in some kind of doorbell or something like that, since they both sit back here. We wouldn't, may not necessarily, I know I've come in the door and Joanne's been up here and she hasn't known I'm come in and everything like that, and so you might not hear somebody coming in the door. So I'd say if we put a doorbell in, that they would ring and they would come and open the door for them, not that the building would be open. That would be my suggestion.
Sounds like a good suggestion.
Good suggestion.
Yeah. Still got the cordless ones there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Inexpensive.
Video ones over the...
Little sign or something.
Yeah.
Little video doorbell over the Wi-Fi.
Right.
Yeah, we have that. Pain in the neck.
But I have no problem with the Thursday nights.
If it works out for them, it's a good night for the public, it's fine with me.
So is there a motion to change the tax assessor hours to Thursday nights and have the zoning officer hours also on a Thursday night? I don't know the exact time that they've worked out, if it's still starting at 5 or 5:30, but approximately 5 to 8 p.m. plus or minus exact schedules.
And to get a doorbell.
And to get a doorbell.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the last item of new business on the agenda is a notification from the Rec Commission that Jason Juskiewicz, who is a alternate currently due to work commitments and the like, he's not able to attend the meetings as often as he'd like to. He would like to participate as a volunteer, but to open up the seat for someone else who might be able to attend more meetings.
And that leaves two vacancies.
Two
including
two vacancies
him, yeah. Yeah, Maria confirmed it, so.
So we would then have two vacancies. Do we need a vote to accept that? Is there a vote to accept the resignation from the Recreation Commission?
I'll make a motion to accept the resignation of Jason Juskiewicz from the Recreation Commission with regrets.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any other new business from the committee? With that, we move to presentation of vouchers.
I have none.
Okay. My first is from Dell Computers. It's for a desktop computer for $1,126.40. Then I have another from Dell Computers. It's for a laptop for the patrol vehicle for $1,740.26. I have one for SDG Security. It's the annual monitoring for the police building, the fire test alarms, and inspections agreement for $2,107. Griffith Allied Trucking for gasoline for the police for $1,028.84. And then this is bought through Amazon reimbursement for Warren for the tag machine that we bought for the ID tag for $1,703.13. That's it.
I have New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for the March premiums, total of $33,015.08. The auditor, Ardito, the second installment of the annual audit fee, $7,234. Bayer Reese Engineering for various activities, including the wastewater management plan discussion with the Highlands Council and the Hunterdon County, $1,040. And General Code Publishers for updating the township code, both the printed material and the web version, $2,654.20.
Okay. I have one for Road Safety Systems, LLC, for $1,750 for the Hickory Run guardrail posts. I have one from Performance Tire Company for tires, $1,003.24. I've got one for Opdyke Sales and Service for auto parts, truck parts, for $2,020.29. I've got one for Morton Salt for $14,294.20 for the road. Another one for Morton Salt for $5,443.49. I've got one to the Little Brook Lane Property Owners Association for salting and plowing for $2,587.64. Another one for the Little Brook Lane Property Association settlement agreement and reimbursement for salt and snow plowing, $41,977.92.
I have one that qualifies here for the lower form of Gephardt and Kiefer for their general services for February 2019 for $2,084.
So the total voucher list is $140,893.72. Is there any discussion or a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to, unless there's no discussion, right, we're all good. I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Correspondence, the tax collector's report for the month of February. Taxes collected for the 2019 year, $4,083,509.09. Taxes collected for the 2018 year, $65,144.51. Interest paid or collected $6,471.89. 2018 year-end penalty $1,296.77. And interest on that penalty $28.29 for total receipts of $4,156,450.55. And now we would open the meeting to public comment if there's a motion.
Make a motion to open public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public can come to the microphone, state your name and address, and keep in mind the meeting is recorded and will be posted on the website promptly.
No song and dance.
Yeah, no video.
Right.
No.
Jeanette Slyker, Pleasant Grove Road. I just have a quick question regarding the secret bids for the blacktop. Now, does that, I know last year they had money set aside to reduce Slyker Road, and they didn't get to it. Does that include this, or is that something separate?
The Slyker Road is a state grant, unless somebody else, a state grant of $185,000, I believe, which wasn't even slated to start last year. I'm not even sure the exact time frame for getting it done this year.
I read it correctly in the paper, but I think some reason
the paper sometimes misses a few of those details. But, the grant was awarded last year, but I'm not sure that the work was scheduled to start last year.
Because there was a lot of prep work that had to be done, drainage work.
That's
prior
I
to
think
doing
what
that
he
stuff.
Was hoping to have started, but didn't
okay.
get much done.
And also, I haven't been here in a while at nighttime. I didn't know where the driveway was to come in.
I've talked to Warren about that as well. I've had that from a number of people.
It's very dark. I was like, am I going to go across the lawn? Or?
I did that one.
I've done that. I have done that.
Okay, it's just not
for you. Not just you.
I ended up on the rescue squad property the one night.
In Warren's defense, do you remember we used to have entrance and exit signs?
You know
he was asked.
We almost need a light.
He was asked to take them down. He's now going to put them back.
That's the way I know. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seeing no other members of the public coming for a comment, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We will now be going into executive session. This would be Resolution 35-2019. Four items that I have on my list. Update on the collective bargaining with the CWA, a personnel matter, as we mentioned, related to the library assistant, a potential shared service discussion, and a personnel policy discussion, broadly defined. If that's adequate. Any other topics from anyone?
And there likely will be.
Potential action as expected on a couple of the items.
I'll make the motion to go into executive session based on the discussion points by the mayor.